farm to table recording.
Yeah.
Put your little face in the fucking cafe.
Shit, I wonder if you could just like start a little cafe and also call it a farm to table like radio show. And it's like, so we have the artisans in the back and they're going to record the podcast directly onto the Zoom. And then they'll bring the Zoom out to your table and you can just use the same headphones they were using to listen to it. It's a completely organic experience. It's very local. It never travels over the internet. So it doesn't get, you know, the electrons don't get flipped, you know, insert some kind of mumbo jumbo here about how it's like electronically better for your chakra if it's from a local source.
I have to imagine that there's one of these like these wellness podcast networks or like lifestyle podcast networks. At least one of them has to have tried something like this where they're like, welcome to the artisanal ASMR podcast for people like with seasonal depression and gout.
That's what I imagine the Goop podcast, like Gwyneth Paltrow has a podcast, right?
Probably.
Is there a podcast for Goop? That seems insane.
I think so.
Let's see.
I mean, I'm sure there's worse ones.
Like, yeah.
There's like, probably just like podcast. You know what's really crazy? There's probably podcasts that are just about astrology.
Oh, there's probably dozens. Yeah.
Yeah. No, there's tons. Oh, okay. So I looked up
probably
Goop podcast. There's not just one Goop podcast. There are three Goop podcasts.
Really?
Why have only one?
There's the Goop podcast, which does what it says on the tin.
It's got Gwyneth Paltrow on it.
Yeah. Right. And then there's one called The Beauty Closet.
Goop presents
The Beauty Closet.
Okay.
And then there's one that's just for the fellas. Can you guess what it's called?
Gype.
Goop fellas.
Goop fellas. Oh my god. The Goop fellas.
That sounds like something that a fucking like, you know, few thousand follower meme page would post, or it's just the cover of the Good Fellas, but their faces all look stupid and it's called the Goop fellas.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, it sounds like, you know, people like, it sounds like something Todd would make up. It's just like a meme Joe Pesci being like, you think I've got a jade egg in my ass, you mook?
Well, it's just like, how many times did they try to figure out a way to make the Rat Pack work before they were like, okay, we're going to have to go with, you know, Tim's idea, Goop fella.
He's like, yes.
Yes, I knew it was going to win. It was really close there for a minute. They almost called it the Goop Troop.
They were going to get sued by Disney. It's way too close to Goof Troop.
Oh,
you think
man.
You can fuck with their intellectual property like that? Goof Troop is sacred.
What a good movie. Everyone's like, oh, Studio Ghibli makes me hungry. Nah, man, Goof Troop makes me hungry. Have you seen that pizza?
You love the Leaning Tower of Cheesa?
It's so weird that Pauly Shore was in that fucking movie.
That'd be a funny gimmick account. That's like one of those like food in anime accounts, but every 10th one you just post food from Goof Troop instead.
Yeah.
With people to like realize that it's not just a normal like
the movie's
engagement
called
bait account.
A goofy movie, right? What's Goof Troop?
Well, there's a video game called Goof Troop.
Was Goof Troop the Disney TV show?
Oh, I think that's what you're...
Oh, yeah, it's also a show.
It's a show.
Okay.
Yeah, there's Goof Troop on SNES as well, which is like a Zelda-like, I think.
They made a Zelda-like with the Goofy cast.
Yeah, I mean, vaguely. I forget. Like,
that sounds good.
Yeah, like, look at these pictures.
Oh, hell yeah, I'm gonna play that.
Wow, I forgot how much it looks like A Link to the Past.
Hold on, let me see.
Yeah, they've
this.
Got you like wooden fences. They didn't. This is just like a fucking asset swap.
Kinda. Yeah, I think there's two player. Like you can play as Max and Goofy and like solve puzzles together.
Oh my god, do you think they just remade Star Tropics?
And
it's
I don't know,
it's
maybe.
Just the Goofy the Goof Troop game is Star Tropics ported to America.
This looks
That's
like a
crazy.
Really good. Yeah, this looks like a really good fan ROM hack. Is what
yeah.
this looks
yeah,
like.
Exactly.
That's
the
fucking crazy.
For a licensed game back in those days.
Oh my god.
He can stub his toe on the little star block and then grab it in pain. That's awesome.
Yeah, but here's my question is like half the fun of Goofy themed stuff is hearing his stupid like yuck yuck kind of voice. And like how are you gonna do that on an SNES sound card? How are you gonna synthesize the yucks? That's what I want to know.
It just sounds like
extremely compressed. Yeah, probably.
Yeah. So welcome to BB Blood is the video game podcast.
That's right.
We talk about video games on this show now. Mm-hmm. And I'm not joking because the first thing on our list is about Chrono Cross.
That's right. I've been playing the Chrono Cross remaster, and everybody's like, oh, it's got all these frame rate issues. It doesn't play right on the Nintendo Switch. Who fucking cares, buddy? They added a fucking speed up mode, okay? So if you're not playing on the speed up mode, which moves the frames and skips enough frames fast enough that you'll never notice the frame lag or the frame rate, you know, dipping, you can just sit back and enjoy the beautiful story that's unfolding in front of you and collect all the fucking, like, there's like 35 or something characters that you can potentially add to your party. It's like a fucking Pokemon game at the same time as being like a conventional RPG.
So Chrono Cross is the sequel to Chrono Trigger?
Well, that's a thorny issue, actually.
Really?
Yeah, because, like, okay, everybody wanted a sequel really bad for Chrono Trigger. They're like, what an incredible game. You know, I'd love to see this world fleshed out a little bit more. And they were like, what if we completely changed the aesthetic of the game? So instead of being like medieval time traveling quasi futurism, you were in like a Caribbean slash kind of Celtic and also North African weirdly setting. Okay. And but it's in the same world, but the stories are not related, except when you get to one really critical point in the game, it will seem like the stories are very closely related all of a sudden. And then it turns out that that doesn't really go anywhere. So a lot of people were disappointed with its status as a sequel to Chrono Trigger.
Mm-hmm.
And even the development team called it a spiritual sequel, which is a great way of saying, like, we wrote an original story.
Mm-hmm. We just use the same name.
But is it Toriyama's art?
I don't think he was involved in the production of Chrono Cross. I think the people that they kept over were the scenario writer, one of the other head, like, production guys. I don't know if he was like an executive or a producer or an engineer or what. And then the composer, Yasunori Mitsuda.
What is the same? Is it like similar mechanics?
You know, that's the funny thing, is like one of the things everybody loved about Chrono Trigger was the extremely simple and intuitive battle system that just like was a very refined version of what had become the standard. And then for Chrono Cross, they were like, what if it was totally fucking different and extremely confusing, and it will take you the first 20% of the game just to figure out what exactly you're doing in battle. And there's this element system, and everything's based off of stamina now. And everybody was like, I really liked waiting for the timer and then hitting attack. Mm-hmm. Tech or item.
Japanese people love their like really complicated JRPGs, and they also have a very low opinion of what the West will think of them, because there's at least one Final Fantasy where they were like, this is too hard and confusing, Americans will never go for it, we shouldn't release it in America.
Oh really?
Yeah,
because I know a lot of the Japan exclusive games are very like tech tree intensive, like you know, setting up your build, lots of like doing analytics, and it's like Americans are just like, put me in, coach, I want to fight, I want to fight the big bad guy.
I want a big number, raise my attack, swing the big sword, deal the damage. That's like the amount of analytics Americans want.
Yeah, well, that's the thing about Chrono Cross, is like, it maybe it did just, it wasn't like appropriately marketed to Americans, because like it is kind of complicated. You have to kind of get good at the battle system and think about like element, you know, weaknesses and strengths, and there's this thing called like innate element in the game, and they're all denoted by colors. And it's in summary, Chrono Cross is a game of contrast, an extremely good game, and a triumph for PlayStation 1 era stuff that has been given an excellent remaster, even if it doesn't quite run properly on all the platforms yet. And I would recommend anybody play it if they have the patience to learn a whole ass new kind of RPG, because it is not really your garden variety RPG. Mm-hmm. But I've been very happy with it. I'm halfway through it already.
Nice. I've discovered from Google that one of the characters you can recruit is a really cute puppy named Poshel, who also speaks in like a weird garbled English and calls themselves me instead of I. So that looks pretty fun.
A lot of the characters have like weird speech traits and stuff, which is kind of like a stylistic holdover from Chrono Trigger. And one of the funniest things in Chrono Cross is you get to Guldove, which is like a little like port side kind of shanty town on the water. And the doctor in the village is like a 90s surfer stoner dude from California okay. with like a huge talisman and like beach bum clothes, like, you know, button up that's way open, showing lots of chest. And everyone calls him Doc and is like, is she going to be okay, doctor? He's like, yo, dude, I really don't know unless we get the special element we're going to need to save her. Bro, it's crazy down here right now, bro.
That's awesome.
Thank you, doctor. But yeah, I've been really fucking enjoying it. Speaking of something that I have not been enjoying.
That's an interesting way to phrase that.
I've not been a fan of this one. It's not fun. It's not a remaster. It is a remaster of certain things, but it's not a remaster of anything you want.
It's a remaster of this little video game they made in Belgium in the 80s called Gladio.
Yeah, that's right. We're talking about the Brooklyn shooting, and I would have just recorded the pod with you guys yesterday, but I was like, is the information coming out about this reliable yet?
Yeah, it was a good wait 24 hours and find out.
Is no. Also, I was not available yesterday. I was renting a U-Haul. But yeah, so yesterday, there was a shooting in my old stomping grounds of Sunset Park, on my the station I lived by, 36th Street. And it seems like tens of people were injured.
Mm-hmm. I think 10 people got shot and others were injured by like falling or inhaling gas or whatever.
Sure.
Or smoke, but no one's
just in the pandemonium.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's died yet, right?
Anyone has died.
Okay, well, that's good at least.
So that's good. It was immediately suspicious and strange to me what happened because the entire place was filled with smoke. Mm-hmm. There didn't seem much evidence of a shooter as people were stumbling. It seems like it happened on the train, and then the train pulled up. There was eyewitnesses of shooting on the train as the express train was passing 45th Street.
Mm-hmm.
So like someone saw the windows get shot out.
Yeah.
So it sounds like the shooting happened in a car, and mm-hmm. then the shooter got out at 36th Street and then changed trains and then just like went away
or just walked away or something. Yeah, it was the footage of people getting out of the cars is weird. I mean, it's like, I don't know how I would react in a situation like this, but a lot of them don't seem to be acting as though there's a guy who's going to keep shooting people, because they kind of like get off the train and are just like looking around, looking dazed, and there's some people sort of like stumbling around who are bleeding, but no one is really like, I thought people would all be running away. And yeah, a lot of them are.
Right. And I think that's because the shooter probably got off first.
Yeah, he
right.
probably bolted. I imagine mm-hmm. if you're on a train car where a bunch of people have just been shot, and then the guy who did it like leaps out of the train car and runs away.
Yeah.
You're probably only going to want to step a few feet out of the train car, because he was showing quite a, I mean, like, it would be an insane play to like bolt out of the train car and then still be there to shoot people. I can't imagine somebody actually doing that. So I was confused by it too, because as soon as it happened, both the police reports and the journalists who had gone to the area were just getting like extremely conflicting reports from everybody on the ground. Some people were saying mm-hmm. it looked like he was wearing MTA clothing. Some people were saying that there was like an undetonated device he might have left. Mm-hmm. You know, that seems just like cop speak for a backpack was somewhere.
Sure, yeah. He was wearing a gas mask, I think, which is like, I guess, ties into throwing a smoke bomb.
Sure, yeah, the gas mask. And then I also saw on Twitter, I don't know if this is corroborated or not, but people were saying he like straight up dropped his credit card. Or like another so, like big piece of identifying info.
So this is where things get really strange. So I would say immediately this kind of thing rings weird to me. Like mm-hmm. there is, you know, people think of New York City as a violent city, right? Like they think of it as like cities just generally, like mm-hmm.
yeah.
they think of it as like crime ridden or whatever.
The Warriors was a documentary about that.
But but in general, we don't have very many like random crime, like random shootings. Like that's a sort of Texas type thing. You know what I mean? Like there's not really guns allowed here. It's hard to walk around with a gun and not immediately be killed.
Yeah. Like people will get
cops,
shot.
You know, specifically, you know, people will get shot in gang related, you know, or like, you know, just interpersonal, more specifically interpersonal, conflicts, right? Uh-huh. Like you're generally shooting someone because they, you know, they disrespected your girlfriend or whatever, you know, your kid. Yeah,
most people that get murdered anywhere in the country get murdered by somebody they know well and have known well for a long time.
Right. Or at least have some sort of specific beef with.
Right.
This kind of crime is more rare. And I feel like for me, especially in New York City, alarm bells go off when I hear this stuff. And when the stuff started coming out, what the cops were saying about it, the air raid sirens are going off, right? Yeah. Because they claim that the shooter dropped three things. They just dropped them. And those three things were a key to a U-Haul, a specific U-Haul that they were able to then track down based on the credit card that he dropped and a gun. So he dropped a 9mm weapon, not specified what kind of weapon, a credit card, and a key. This makes zero sense.
It seems like a triple threat. Yeah, you're like, let me drop the credit card I used to rent the U-Haul to get here, and the gun that committed the crime, and then also the key to the U-Haul, so the cops can unlock it. Like, whoever carries...
They say it was a Glock.
Okay. Whoever carries a credit carded key just kind of like loose in your pocket. He really wouldn't have like a little pocket on his tactical vest or his pants or something to like make sure he doesn't lose this stuff.
Right.
Yeah, that seems really goofy to me. Yeah, and then they identified the person who rented the vehicle as this guy named Frank.
Frank James.
Frank James.
Yeah.
And then they just arrested him today.
Mm-hmm. But also as anyone who's ever been to New York would know, there are, you know, cops all over every subway platform. There was a funny tweet that was like, some of the cops who, like, right after the shooting happened, were asking people to call 911 because their radios weren't working.
Extremely suspect.
Maybe because they're underground, which is like, I guess could be true. But also, all the cameras mysteriously were malfunctioning at the subway station. So either like a lot of the cameras don't work or like they just happened to someone shut them off.
I've lived in this city for over a decade and you can see the cameras.
They're
working.
Everywhere.
They show you the display of the feed, right? So it's like those are just public. Mm-hmm. You can look at them. They're working. Right. So the idea that all of them were malfunctioning that day doesn't make any sense. So,
extremely suspicious.
Yeah.
So this whole thing stinks to high heaven. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know what you guys think, but like my sense of this stuff is like, okay, so it just feels like most of terrorism that we get in this country is by people who have FBI handlers.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Definitely.
And,
yeah.
You know, this guy is some sort of like schizo hotep guy who like has a YouTube channel about, you know, waking up people and, you know, he's sort of a right-wing character.
Right. He seems in many ways like he's an older man as well. He's like the kind of guy that is primed for like if you wanted to send FBI handlers, CIA handlers to get someone to act crazy, like this is who you would send them after. This is somebody who's like very impressionable and also has like deeply held convictions, but those deeply held convictions are like malleable and not necessarily consistent, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly. This to me, I mean, until there's evidence to the contrary, is like by the numbers domestic gladio type behavior where
so do you think, because I'm just thinking about how there's like, you know, when FBI handlers sort of like cultivate people to commit crimes, they often will just like arrest them right before they're about to do it. Like there's that famous one where the cops,
well, that's
like,
the one that like, those are the ones that This American Life reports on.
Sure. Yeah.
Because it's those are the ones that the FBI admits.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Or there has been, you know, sort of apologies and you know, releases in the media of that happening. Mm. The ones where they actually do it don't get admitted to and don't get reported on. So, yeah.
Like, for instance, I would be really curious to see this Frank James guy's text and call history on mm-hmm. his phone.
Yeah.
Would be mm-hmm. quite enlightening.
Uh-huh. Good thing he didn't drop his phone, too. He would have had nothing. He would just be stuck in New York without a credit card or a phone, you know, or any way to get
or
around.
A gun.
Yeah, no gun.
I
mean,
I understand. There are so many people who could be driven to do this for so many different reasons. I'm really trying to withhold, like, you know, any kind of, like, sincere judgment that, like, okay, I believe that this was probably perpetrated by the intelligence community, but it seems it's a little too convenient that he dropped the exact right amount of incriminating things
uh-huh.
that were incriminating in like the exact degree to give the police the exact story they need
mm-hmm.
to trumpet this out as some kind of triumph, especially right. when the political class is receiving a lot of backlash for doing a complete 180 heel face turn on committing to any kind of lowering police violence or funding.
And we have a mayor now that is 100% pro police and needs a reason, right?
Right.
Like, you know, he's receiving a lot of backlash from all of the people who participated in the BLM protests in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he won the election supposedly, but you know, that doesn't mean that like most or half of the city, a lot of the non-voting parts of the city really don't like him. So you know, it there's a lot of reasons why you do something like this, why the sort of fusion centers that we have all across the country mm-hmm. wouldn't develop some sort of like, this is by the numbers type plan, right?
Yeah,
of
right.
Like, well, and like we were talking about, the ones that get like foiled right before they happen are the ones uh-huh. that get reported on. And you got to imagine, like, if you set up 20 dudes who are going to commit, you know, various types of attacks, and between the 20 of them, you only have, you know, 40 handlers, two per, one of those is going to get grievously mishandled. And mm-hmm. or the person that you're trying to get to do this thing is already like unwell enough that they might be provoked to action that's the thing, is like these handlers, I'm sure, always think they have like a good handle on this guy, right? They know yeah. what he's
right,
going to
totally.
Do. And then this guy is just like, you know, they might get an inkling that this is the FBI. They might just something might set them off, that one of the things that was making them susceptible to this kind of handling in the first place. And they could bump up the date. You know, without telling anybody, like they yeah. tell the FBI, like, yeah, I'm definitely going to commit an attack on April 22nd. And then like, boom, on the fucking 11th, you're out there doing it.
Yeah. Cause they're just like, today, you know, mm-hmm. if they're like hanging out with crazy people, but
yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, this also, you know, I don't know if you guys talked about the Rash arson.
No, I don't think we've done an episode since then.
I think like a week ago, not very long ago, there was a club called Rash in the city.
They're kind of near us, just in
yeah,
Brooklyn.
Yeah, kind of in my neighborhood. Where a random person entered the facility with gasoline,
mm-hmm.
put it all over the floor and the, you know, the bar and stuff, and then just like lit a match and then ran away.
Mm.
And this was you know, in the news. Nobody got hurt or nobody died. Some yeah. people got burned.
People got some burns. Yeah. And also like insanely, like if you watch the security video, he just like pours the gas down and then is like standing right next to it when he drops the match. So it's sort of insane that he wasn't just killed.
I mean, we don't know. Yeah. Too. Yeah.
Like it looks like he gets away, but like very, like the least safe way. He doesn't even do like a little trail to like send over to the big pile of gas. He's just like all the gas on the ground, match on the pile of gas.
Right.
Yeah, very, I mean, very, that's dangerous. That's dangerous as fuck. I know that just from like playing with flammable things when I was a kid.
Yeah,
absolutely. But that, you know, it just in the media, it was everywhere as like a bigoted attack on the queer community.
Yeah, I think that was mainly from like people at the bar. Like people were sort of framing it as like, this is a queer bar.
No, I don't think so. I mean, like
I'm just saying, like, I think that's where they got the quotes from, or where like the framing of like this is a queer bar.
Yeah, but there was like ABC. I remember specifically seeing like some local news stuff, like being like clearly having asked, like, is this a mm-hmm. queer community thing? Like, you know, and then of course the people who are there are being like, well, yeah, maybe, I don't know. You know, nobody knows anything, but like the likelihood that I've just been thinking a lot about that particular act. And it's just like people who are specifically bigoted usually want people to know that they're specifically bigoted.
Yeah.
Like they don't behave like people who are just trying to burn a building down.
No, I think that's an interesting observation, is that the people who are really, really fueled by hatred don't tend to be like really like cynical attackers. They tend to be out in the open. They spend a long time plastering shit over their truck and, you know, yelling at people over a megaphone downtown or whatever. You're all sinners, you're all immigrants or whatever.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that, like, it reminded me of the Christchurch shooter, right? Like, mm-hmm. that guy was a person who wanted, you know, he filmed himself doing it. He had messages on his gun. Mm-hmm. He was like, I am this ideologically motivated.
Didn't he like post on poll right before doing it too? Is that what I'm thinking of? Yeah.
He mm-hmm. posts, well, he streamed it to poll.
Yeah.
And obviously not everybody is that level of ideologically motivated that they, I'm not saying they have to meet like some standard of, mm-hmm. of streaming it to assume bigotry, but right. at the same time, like I live in this neighborhood. There are barely any bars and clubs that exist here that you couldn't describe as queer bars. Like, that's just all right. of them. Like, mm-hmm. all of them have, like, the sort of, like, LGBT flag outside. A lot of them are themed around, like, you know, the tender queer aesthetic that is sort of popular right now. No shade to that or anything, but it's like, this is sort of a young white kid area, so it's just like that's kind of how it is. So it's like I find it difficult to believe that somebody looks at one and it's just like I've got to all of the sudden kill a bunch of people, because it's like you wouldn't know that that bar unless you hung out there, mm-hmm. unless you right. had some sort of prior specific engagement with that bar or the people who run it. You wouldn't like set it on fire because it's like specifically gay or queer or whatever. That just, that doesn't ring clear to me having like lived here. So it's like mm-hmm. seeing that kind of stuff, it just feels like this sort of weird stochastic violence mm-hmm. that we saw in Belgium in the 80s of like big, you know, spectacular things where it's like, let's see a building burned down. Let's see a mass shooting in a train car. Like it mm-hmm. feels more like it's about the aesthetic of what happened rather than like any sort of specific ideological motivation. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying I know for sure that the rash arson is also, because I mean, I personally think that this Frank James thing is like basically, you know, you could bet on it. Mm-hmm. I would bet on it being a sort of an op.
Yeah.
This is
like
the kind
a Stephen Paddock Las Vegas shooter kind of situation where it's just so fucking suspect the whole way down. And there are multiple articles going around right now about this guy from Brooklyn who committed the shooting in Brooklyn, who was on the FBI's terrorist like threat radar mm-hmm. until 2019 when they cleared him.
Oh,
and it's like,
okay.
Well, 3 years ago, he got cleared.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that kind of sounds like 3 years ago, he got added to the list of like guys we manipulate now by the FBI.
Yeah, I feel like the FBI terrorism list is probably basically just like the public list they use to like keep track of their ops, basically. Like, this is where mm-hmm. this is their Rolodex.
It's a stack of resumes for them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, but the rash thing, I'm not saying I have the same conviction of it, but it does seem to be of a piece of, because the point of doing it in Belgium was to garner public support for the sort of like fascist police, you know, mm-hmm. like the fascist control over the state.
Well, and there has been a big effort in the United States to realign the narrative around funding the police more than ever, despite the fact that they haven't been defunded or abolished or any of that shit at all.
Right.
You have Biden coming out and saying things like, we're going to fund the police. It's like the fucking Democrat version of bomb Iran. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Who they love. They love that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's very convenient. I mean, I don't know. It's hard to talk about because, like, I don't want to talk about this in terms that are disrespectful to what happened. But at the same time, like, it really does fucking stink. It's incredibly bewilderingly suspicious. Yeah. And
Glows, as they say.
Yeah.
It glows. That's right. Yeah. We need an X-Files two-parter about this one.
but I think what's sort of annoying about it all is that, like, you might say, okay, well, so what? Or, like, what can you learn from this? And I guess the answer is, I don't know. Like,
someone should investigate and take down intelligence agencies.
It's frustrating because I find myself getting into this sort of mindset of, like, oh, it's, I want to know the truth of this.
You're trying to make the Owl of Minerva take flight at dawn.
I love to make that happen.
It just doesn't, that's not when it takes flight, Bryn. It takes flight at dusk.
Yeah, because I want to, you can't do that. And it's one of those things where it's like, even if I could prove that, you know, this guy was a, you know, federal operative, or someone who had a handler, and this was for that. It's like, okay, well, no one's going to believe you anyway. Well,
yeah,
even if they did believe you, even if you were like, I have his, what's the like older mass shooter equivalent of Discord chats? Like, I have his text message history. It's all verified by Amazon. You can FOIA request this or whatever would make people like feel secure in the information. And it would just go the way of the Panama Papers, where it's
exactly,
like, it's a news item for a day. And then everybody's like, well, I'm sure glad that ain't happening anymore.
Right. And I feel like it's unfortunate because this stuff kind of just becomes fodder for arguments with your parents or person, you know, friend you have friendly arguments about politics with, and not like this terrifying reality that we actually live in of the state, you know, just doing domestic terrorism on us so that they can get more money.
Yeah, absolutely. The boomerang of imperialism has finally come home. We're doing Belgium in the United States, people. I hope you like waffles.
Yeah, it's just like, what else are you going to do about it? Yeah. Is very depressing to me.
We started with the waffles. Now we got the fucking terrorist attacks. It's a bad deal. I think we should send them both back.
Waffles?
Belgian waffles. Yeah.
I don't know. I guess my feeling is like, I think it's evidence more that if you care about politics, that you're kind of your only option is to fight back against like a literal war that's being enacted on your community. I don't know.
You got to make a decision. Like, are you going to go hacker mode? Are you going to don the cheap 90s sunglasses of hackerdom? Or will you go back to your boring life at your 50 hour, I'm sorry, I'm getting reports, it's a 60 hour a week job.
Yes. No hourly pay, though.
No, you are salaried, my friend. $35K a year.
It's per gig.
Oh, no, yeah, it's piecework. You get paid you get paid a penny for every nickel you manage to get into the machine. Well, it's been a big talking point for people that this basically proves how fucking useless the police are, because they're totally woefully unable to prevent any kind of like significant crime or violence in anywhere in the United States, and not least of all NYPD, where they have an alarmingly elevated presence compared to the rest of the country.
Yesterday there was at least 3 police officers in every station I went to, which was several.
Yep. But I don't want to talk about the real boys in blue, those dumb sons of bitches who are probably making a lot of money doing fucking nothing to keep us safe. I want to talk about the real heroes, the fake cops.
Fake
the guys
cops.
Who said, today, I will impersonate a law enforcement officer. And we talked about some recently, some guys who were posing as Department of Homeland Security officials and who gave lavish, extremely expensive gifts to multiple Secret Service agents, including one who was assigned to the First Lady's security detail. We have talked about guys who have tried to pretend to be law enforcement officers to do things like get out of tickets. But I want to talk about a guy who pretended to be a DEA agent, and he was busted because he was trying to use his status as a fake DEA agent to get a discount at Wendy's.
What? Can you imagine anything less exciting than being like, I think I want to save, what, 20%
on 60 a six, cents?
On a $6 meal that will be mediocre at best?
Yeah. So this guy is in Bunnell, Florida. Okay. A man trying to get a discount on his fast food order is accused of impersonating a DEA agent, according to Bunnell police. David Stover, 57, was arrested Monday at the Wendy's at 2570 Commerce Parkway. Police say they were called to Wendy's because a customer was arguing with the staff. So this guy didn't just pretend to show a badge, say, I'm a DEA officer and I would like a law enforcement discount. But also when he was not granted it, he didn't just like give up and go to another fast food place. He said, no, this Wendy's will recognize my status as a drug enforcement official.
Oh, that part's really good. The fact like, because I thought it was just that like he tried once and then they were like, no, you're not, that doesn't look real. But the fact that he was like, he showed it and they were like, no, we don't really do that. Like, is that even a thing that is like recognized by these companies for real cops, that like if you're a cop you automatically get a discount on your food?
I don't think so.
I feel like it's just like a cultural thing that like, you know, the bootlicking like small business owner of your Subway or Wendy's or whatever.
Give the military like a little discount.
Yeah, give them a little discount
show
for serving or whatever.
For, you like, know, whatever.
But the idea that you would like start a fracas arguing about this, like so much so that they have to call the cops.
When you're not even an actual cop?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's like,
I mean,
no.
Talk about pushing your luck, right? Yeah. Like, I feel like if I was pretending to be a law enforcement officer, and okay, so this guy didn't have a DEA badge. He had a concealed and carry badge. Concealed and carry, whatever it's called. And so he showed them that badge, and he was like, this shows that I'm a DEA officer. It's like, buddy, you live in Florida. Like, anybody
everyone
can get a fucking concealed carry badge. Yeah. They just hand them out. They're like, promise rings or 1 year sober tokens. They're just anywhere in Florida, you can pick one up off the street.
They're falling out of the sky.
Yeah. I love this detail too. He was a regular at that Wendy's for the past 2 years. Worker said he used to get a discount at the restaurant because he had a friend who was a cashier there, according to the arrest report. But when that worker left their job, he started claiming he was a law enforcement officer. So he was trying to grandfather in his like friend discount as like, oh, he was giving it to me because I'm in the DEA. That's actually why. It's not because we're buddies.
That's the craziest play of all time. Like, I was already impressed by a guy who's willing to pretend to be a DEA agent and argue with the staff. But now I'm realizing that he's arguing with staff who have served him food before for the
They're
last
like, dude, you're
however many
not
years.
A DEA agent.
Yeah.
I've seen you before.
I've seen you working at the DMV. It's not the same thing.
This would be like when I worked at Starbucks and the like weird old libertarian naturopathy guy who came in every single day just suddenly told me, he's like, let me tell you something, young man, I'm a DEA agent and you should give me that coffee for free. But I mean, that like, that's the thing, is like, you hit the nail on the head earlier, which is like, most businesses don't even have an official policy on giving cops, you know, free or discounted shit. It's like up to the store manager. Like when I worked at Starbucks, my store manager would give cops free coffee all the time. And I was like, is that policy? Do I have to do that? And he was like, no, I just do it because corporate doesn't care. if I give them the free stuff.
Out of respect.
And,
then,
mm-hmm. and he gave me some kind of spiel about, like, they protect our neighborhood. What would we do if someone broke in? I'm like, I don't know. Give a cop free coffee? Like, that would sure help a lot. Like,
yeah. Wait, sir, stop. We gave cops free coffee. Come back with our money or whatever.
Please surrender now, or I swear to God, I'll give cops free coffee for the rest of their lives.
Sir, bring back the Jason Mraz CDs, for the love of God.
Jason Mraz, fucking Michael Bublé Christmas album. I can't tell you how many fucking copies of the Michael Bublé Christmas album I still had sitting around in the drawers at the Starbucks I worked at in fucking July.
Yeah, who's buying that shit?
90-year-old women, and there are only two gullible enough in each major city. So the production run they do every year of 100,000 CDs might be a little excessive.
Everyone loves this guy.
Michael Bublé, he's enough. Still relevant, right? Hello, fellow kids. Do you love Michael Bublé?
Yeah, I know the kids love, they love Bob Dylan, they love Miles Davis, they love Led Zeppelin, Michael Bublé. It's all the same.
Led Zeppelin is too hard. Yeah, that's, yeah. That's not they're not getting any play in Starbucks.
True
It's all bare naked ladies and I don't know, the Blues Travelers, maybe.
God damn it, every artist we have said so far during this bit besides Michael Bublé I actually really like.
Oh no.
I like Blues Travel. I got it. I think it's just being Midwestern. I think you have Great Lakes brain when you're from around here. And you hear Blues Traveler and you're like,
are fucking awful. I hate that band.
I that's the thing. What's about
their
Blues
big
Traveler.
Song?
They're one of those bands
why
where
you wanna give me the run.
Yeah.
It's a banger. That song's so fine.
No, it is not.
I enjoy it.
I hate that song.
I love that band, but if any person told me they're like, I fucking hate that band, I'm like, I totally get it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to tell you
not
to.
I have bands like that. There's bands that I love that I know are not, you know, not for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, for me, the biggest band that's like really emblematic of that is Soul Coughing. Like me and my mom are the only people I know who truly like fucking love Soul Coughing. Everybody else I know is like, I've never heard of it, or, oh, that guy's fucking voice.
I love Soul Coughing.
They're good.
I mean, really what's good. Their big song?
Circles, Rolling.
Yeah, Super Bon Bon, I guess. They didn't really have like a big hit. They were just kind of like well known around New York for long enough.
Oh, that, sure.
Like
okay.
They kind of stayed, you know, relevant like in the scene.
Soul Coughing, I found out about from Adult Swim.
Okay.
They had made animated music videos for two of their songs, Circles and Rolling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
My lack of cable strikes again. I couldn't watch Adult Swim, so I couldn't find out about Soul
Coughing.
There
you go, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Circles and Rolling, those are from the last album. Those are from El Oso, right?
El Oso, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's the fucking best album. That album whips.
Mm-hmm. So that's how I know about them. And then, like, I had a friend when I first moved to New York. I mean, I still have this friend, but he was a big Mike Doty fan. Like, not just Soul Coughing, but, like, the solo stuff.
Oh, no. Yeah. And, I'm sorry. That's where we part ways. I only care about it if it's got funky drums and an upright bass. Everything else can fuck off. Like.
So I heard a lot of it. I didn't hate it. I don't know. It was fine.
Yeah. He came back and I think I mentioned this on the show at some point before, but he came back and started doing Soul Coughing style stuff again because he had like purposefully distanced himself from that sound. And then he started doing it again, and the very first single he releases is about coronavirus. And I'm like, Mike,
oh no,
my guy, you are a champion of writing songs that are basically not about anything in particular. And you are the one who chose to do this, to write a topical song about the thing that everyone is dealing with so actively. The last thing they would want to do is listen to a fucking song about it.
Let alone a Soul Coughing song.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah, what I really need is for the Spin Doctors to do a song about the impending economic collapse. I think that would be really good. The problem is, though, is like bands like that would do that, like Bare Naked Ladies and even like Smash Mouth.
If you want to buy a house now, well, go and fuck yourself.
If you
Blackstone
want the way PR
already.
Now. Oh my God.
I hope you die now.
I mean, those are the guys I take financial advice from, though.
Mm-hmm,
you know, I'm like, I'm ready to buy a house. I think I'm going to hit up Chris Barron from the Spin Doctors in his Twitter DMs, which I can do because he followed me back.
No, very nice.
I bet you probably could get decent, you probably could get good financial advice on what not to do from like mid-tier bands who, like, you know, made some money, but maybe not as much as they actually realized and then are broke now. And they could be like, here's what you should do if you're making a little money, but you don't realize your label actually owns all the rights to your masters and is going to take all the Spotify money in the future.
Well, that's like everybody's big on the Eve 6 guy, right? Like Max. And they're like, he's the perfect example of like a mid-tier.
I don't know about everybody.
Well, you know, he has a popular Twitter account. We'll say that.
Yeah.
And you know, everybody's like, wow, this mid-tier kind of once relevant guy is now doing hilarious jokes on the Bird app. I like that. And I'm like, did you know if you just pick random musical artists who are not megastars, just regular stars, there's like a 20% chance they will follow you back. Like,
that's
Rick
true.
Wakeman didn't follow me back. Okay. But Chris Barron followed me back. Mm-hmm. I would have preferred Rick Wakeman. But you know, he's
he might
much
not know
older.
How to follow back. He probably like he forgot his reading glasses that day, so he was like, well, I don't know, I'll click this button later.
But if you pick like mid to low tier guys, like what's a mid to low tier band that had like one hit and then vanished? Like who did that?
Marcy's Playground.
Yeah, okay, so the Sex and Candy, that's not what I was thinking of, but that's a great example. If you picked a random band member from Marcy Playground and followed them on Twitter, 1 out of 5 chance you immediately get followed back.
That's true. 100%. Because they probably only have like 300 followers.
Yeah. Maybe they have like a couple thousand.
Especially if you pick the drummer, which is a disgrace because everyone knows the drummer makes the band.
Mm-hmm. They work the hardest. They have the most equipment.
Yeah. Well, they, you know.
They have the most equipment.
They have the most equipment. And you see them helping the guitar players with their fucking amps as well, you know? Yeah. So give it up for the drummers. Their backs will be shredded to death by the time they're 40.
they get help with their kits. Let's not go crazy.
Yeah. Look, I've been there in the drummer's seat on the throne. You don't get as much help as you might think.
I mean, John Bonham died and then Led Zeppelin broke up. I think that's pretty ironclad. The drummer makes the band.
Yeah, absolutely.
He made that
or
band.
You try to replace the drummer for one album and it's your most critically panned album of all time. And you're like, okay, it's definitely time to put this to bed.
Yeah, shout out Billy Corgan.
Oh, is that what the Pumpkins did as well?
Well, Billy Corgan, like Jimmy stayed with them, but there's like one album that doesn't have Jimmy on it, and people are like, this sucks.
It's got no good drums.
Yeah. Anyway, speaking of grifting people out of their money.
Oh yeah.
Elon.
A little Elon watch.
Little Elon
never
watch.
Never stopped doing Elon watch.
For the old times. You know, when we started this podcast, I thought Elon watch would go away.
Like, I honestly thought
it would be like a little in-joke we had for a couple weeks. And then, but this guy has become like one of the main villains of the 21st century. Mm-hmm. Are we in the 21st century? Yeah.
We have been for quite some time. Yeah. Elon Musk has basically become
for 20 years, right?
He's become 22. Fucking, he's become 9-gag iFunny Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
Oh God, you're right. Cause he was like Reddit 4chan Lex Luthor for a while, but now he's got that little iFunny watermark and you're like, wow, this has seen some things before it arrived in my feed.
Yeah. Because Jeff Bezos is regular like LinkedIn Lex Luthor.
I was going to say LinkedIn too. Jeff Bezos is pure straight ahead LinkedIn.
He's just,
Bill Gates is like the Vox, maybe a little Twitter, Facebook.
Well, he owns Vox.
Yeah. So, you know, or indirectly,
he's not really Lex Luthor. I'd say Bill Gates is more like the Riddler.
Bill Gates is a Riddler figure. Well,
interesting.
Because he's wry. That's one thing I will give him. It's he's wry like a Riddler.
he's the Riddler in the sense that he was able to convince a lot of the world to change their opinion on him like over a decade when like we've talked about this on the show before. Like there was a period when I was young, when I was in my teens, that Bill Gates was synonymous with like villainy and greed.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was like, basically the same as Bezos, right? Like Amazon and Bill Gates were the same as, or like
yeah,
Amazon
exactly.
and Bezos
like,
now was Bill
was,
Gates and Microsoft back then.
Right. Mm-hmm. People would spell, you know, people in forums would spell Microsoft with a dollar sign for the S, you know, or like they were always talking about how he was evil.
And also then, talking about how like, oh my God, we love Mr. Turtleneck Man selling us these Apple products.
Oh, right. Yeah. And then Jobs getting a complete pass. But yeah. Bill Gates, and also, you know, Apple was really good at like spinning themselves as an underdog story because like Bill Gates stole Windows from them. And like, they were like, well, we tried to be, whatever. Point is that Bill Gates was fully disliked and then went away from the public eye and came back as some sort of like philanthropist, like Mother Teresa, who's like just out there to like save children and stuff. Mm-hmm. And like,
yeah, I feel like he has most average people convinced that he is like steadily giving his money away, that he just has like a big hose and is like spraying money out of a fire hose.
I mean, it's the same as Warren Buffett, but Warren Buffett has like been on that tip for a long time. Mm-hmm. Like he's
also
his whole thing was that he was the good billionaire.
Warren Buffett is like, yeah, okay, his thing is like he's the good billionaire, he's the philanthropist, but he still has the aura of like the Penguin, if we're going by Batman villains.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah.
Like, he's cut from the same fucking cloth as Henry Kissinger. Whereas, like, somebody like Bill Gates, he works really hard, like you're saying, to get his reputation back in line with where it is now. And it took, like, I remember being a kid in, like, the early 2000s, stealing my neighbor's Wired magazine and reading articles about how like Bill Gates was this fucking brain genius who was going to fix world hunger in like 9 years or something. And give us flying,
he's
going
to do it by himself.
Yeah. And it's like, how? And the article's like, well, he bought this land in Africa. And I'm like, cool. And it's like, he'll figure it out. I'm like, wow, cool. You know, I'm 12. I'm like, he probably will figure it out.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Power of friendship. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, he like had to buy, he like understood that he had to buy the entire media to like fix his image so he continue being a billionaire. Maybe the Riddler isn't the best superhero villain, but you know what I'm saying. He did something crazy.
He's actually the Joker, which is just that a executive studio reinvents him every few years.
Yeah, well, there you go. But Elon is some more disgusting, just craven version of all of this, in that he like isn't ashamed and he is cringe in a way that is so frustrating. And we're still having to talk about him because he just like affects everything.
That I always think of that copypasta that goes around that eventually works its way up to illustrating why Waluigi is so great. But on its way there, it starts by establishing Wario is Mario's like, you know, like horrific inverse, and then it describes him as septic and libertarian, and I'm like, bingo, motherfucker, that's Elon Musk, septic and libertarian. Just like openly perverse, openly just like does not give a shit, and there's something about the way all of social signifiers that appeal to neckbeards just like ooze out of every pore in his body.
He loves it.
Yeah, that is true. There's like a certain class of dude, and it's basically all dudes as far as I can tell, who like being Elon Musk would be like the coolest type of person to be possible. And not even really about like the money, like the success is part of it, but just like the way that
getting
Elon,
to fuck Grimes, I guess.
It's just like his whole attitude, the way he like posts stupid cringe memes and like owns people online all the time and just has like an I don't give a shit attitude.
Yeah, they think that's smart. Like, he's smarmy.
Yeah, they think it's so cool.
Yeah, well, it's very like my dad's emerald mine could beat up your dad's emerald mine. You know, like, oh, what emerald mine? He doesn't have one. Like,
that's actually that fact check is mixed. Actually, if you'll consult factcheck.org.
I mean, that's what's the most interesting about Elon's attitude is that like he could be a posh little motherfucker. You know, he has the means. He has, I'm sure, the upbringing. He has everything. There's everything in his power that would allow him to be an extremely posh little boy who cares about finances and equestrian dressage. You know, and he doesn't do that. And instead, he just like revels in being the most flagrant dipshit he can possibly be. Mm-hmm. And
he's,
you know,
a troll.
I'm just going to, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and blame 4chan and Reddit and Something Awful for this one. It's your fucking fault. You should have set the price point on those forums higher. $10 is nothing to Elon. He has purchased thousands of Something Awful accounts, spending in the millions.
I guess that's the thing. He's like the first truly internet-born billionaire. Like he's he's like the online billionaire, and
he's
it's
a
like,
digital native. It's not as Howard Schultz would put it.
It's not specifically any one subculture of the internet. He just represents the worst parts of the internet. Like,
right,
as a billionaire, he can only adopt the absolute most of frustrating and shitty, like, cultural signifiers that the internet has.
He's kind of like a sports guy who's like totally unspecific about sports. They're like, what's your favorite team? He's like, oh man, I want everyone to have a good time. And they're like, oh, what's your favorite sport? And he's like, man, I'll watch anything. You get tickets to any game, man, invite me. And Elon's just that for the internet. He's like, you want me to be Reddit? I'll be Reddit. You want me to be 4chan? Yeah. I'll be 4chan. Facebook, Twitter, whatever.
Yeah, 9gag, throw them my way. I want a fucking 9gag meme. Those are hilarious.
Like, it's like, you know how when people talk about like culturally how there's certain things that capitalism like can't commodify,
right?
All of the parts of the internet that capitalism can't commodify, he isn't. And all of the parts that it can are his personality.
Yeah, he's just attracted to social signifiers that taste like money. And so that's all he exudes. And then guys look at him and they're like, wow, this dude is going to show me the pathway to prosperity, because these are the people who've been raised on like decades and decades of top 15 habits of highly motivated and wealthy people. How to win influence and make LLCs, you know?
So what did he do this week?
He was... So I have a tweet here from Hugo Lowell, who is a congressional reporter for The Guardian. And he says, from the Associated Press, he has information. Elon Musk's huge Twitter investment took a new twist Tuesday with the filing of a lawsuit alleging that the colorful billionaire illegally delayed disclosing his stake in the social media company so he could buy more shares at lower prices. So he basically made an investment in the company, was legally required to disclose that, did not, to keep the price down, because anytime Elon Musk touches something, the big lines involved all suddenly go up. And he was like, let's keep big line down so I can buy more for less and then send the big line up. And then, I don't know if this is apocryphal or not, but Todd was mentioning to us on the bonus episode that as soon as the big line did go up, he sold a chunk of his shares. So
it seems like what I would do if I was Elon. Like, if I could just buy stock and it would go up, that's like the ultimate, like, you can't lose. Just buy some, it goes up, you sell some, buy something else.
Well, and it's like, according to capitalist logic, like, there's nothing fucking wrong with doing that. And I think that's like the power of Elon in many ways, is he's just the billionaire who's breaking all the norms and very few of the rules and saying, like, you know, is this not okay? Was I not supposed to do this? And they're like, well, you're kind of... He's not saying the quiet part out loud. He's like doing the quiet part.
He's like playing business by Air Bud rules. He's like, there's nothing in the rules that Air Dog can't play basketball.
That's and they're like, well, we know, but like these are rules for middle school basketball. We assumed you had to be a human student at the school.
No,
Elon, and he's like, no, you're cringe. You're canceled.
Yeah, I'm actually allowed to do that. So fuck you.
Well, yeah, fuck Elon, fuck all this fucking bullshit. Twitter is going to be extremely shitty very soon. You have nothing to look forward to. Pretty soon it will be illegal to post any photo that includes a receding hairline.
we're gonna get banned. We're all banned immediately.
That picture of Elon with Ghislaine Maxwell, that's banned forever from the internet. No one can post that.
Oh, didn't a big like Gawker just use that as the headline image?
Yeah, some publisher just used that as the picture for like saying Elon Musk bought Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's pretty good.
before we go, just as a quick palate cleanser, I wanted to skip to the end of the notes. There's a video here.
Funny video.
That I have labeled funny video. And it involves a U-Haul running away from the police. And when I was looking at it, I was also reading an article about how the Brooklyn shooter had a U-Haul. And I was like, uh-oh. Is it inappropriate to label this funny video? But they are unrelated U-Hauls. So I just want you to watch this real quick with me.
This visual medium.
Yeah. U-Haul!
Wow, U-Hauls.
Wow, a lot of cops coming.
Yeah. Okay. A ton of cops. And going fast, too.
And even more cops? Five wasn't enough, I guess.
Here's my question. If you're the sixth squad car in a high-speed chase, how confident are you that you're not going to really have to deal with anything?
Yeah,
no, you're fine.
Wow, even more. Yeah, that seems like the spot to be in. Like, you're so far back in the chain that you're like, I'm just going to slow down to be safer for, like, the pedestrians and stuff.
Right.
I'm sure...
No, they want to speed.
They love speeding, yeah.
That's why there's so many of them. They're like two squad cars to take out, you know, or apprehend the suspect. Nine squad cars to just have the luxury of rolling through a residential neighborhood real fast.
Yes. Yeah, at like 80 miles per hour.
When does this fucking stop? This is like a clown car of police cars. How many fucking do they need for one U-Haul?
They just keep coming. And then there's like an undercover or something at the end.
Oh, yeah, the last one.
Wait, what did she say?
Let's see, the kid? I think he said, do you see all that?
Right, you see all that?
Just something. Yeah. Something yeah,
I just like how he starts off this video going, U-Haul, baby!
1995, you can rent this MF, is what the caption says.
Yeah. And I can't find the comment that I saw earlier, but it was something to the effect of, all of those cops just to take down one man? I hope it's okay that I said man in here and won't start any fights. And I'm like, buddy, did you come into a video about a police chase to start gender controversy relevant to drive? Yeah.
Some 55-year-old dipshit who's like, I just know someone's going to tell me they're non-binary and then I'll be in deep trouble. Never allowed to say anything.
Always getting in trouble around these parts on
gender,
Facebook.
Yeah,
for,
I'm always getting owned by gender.
Assuming someone's gender. Yeah. Like something, so that, something that's never happened to that guy.
Also, Facebook is all old people anyway at this point. It's like, I guess there's like 500 meme page admins and most of those are trans or queer or something. But then it's like all just people this guy's age and older. Like Facebook is just for old people at this point. So it's just like 90% of them are just like, hope you can say the gender of the perpetrator. And someone else is like, in this day and age, you can't even say the gender. And like, no one is actually telling them not to say the gender.
Yeah. 600 like heart reacts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Showing up in the comments with my sunset profile pic, like, who will challenge me on the gender of a driver? I think nobody but a man could run from the police, commit cool crimes.
Such a weird hill to die on.
Yeah. Just fishing for opponents. Well, anyway, we're all going to log off now and go log on to our respective social medias and fish for ideological opponents on there.
Yep.
Let's do it.
All right, see you there.
Bye, everyone. Right.
Bye, everyone. Thanks
Bye.
For listening.
Shoot out like a house fly. This house was half my mind. I don't dispute the doubts you've outlined. But it's my right to waste your time. These things, it stands to reason, these things won't kill me. Your feelings, the spattering, it bores me, don't tell me. Burned in on the 8th of May, she was spectacular. I walked a half moon by the bus stop, sliding across the street to her. Three stands. I do indeed, and shall continue. Dispatch the shiftless man to points beyond. In these things, it stands to reason.